The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
All right, now, crime in our nation's capital, it's not new. In fact, actually, Washington, D.C. is less safe than some capital cities in third world countries. The 2023 homicide rate in D.C. is 41 murders for every 100,000 residents. That got our attention because look at the comparison to other capital cities like Havana, Lagos, Nigeria, Brasilia, Brazil. Washington, D.C., less safe. The murder rate higher than Lagos, Nigeria. But it's not just Washington. This is a trend, this youth violence we're seeing across the country. Back in 2020, the number of juvenile offenders was over 171,000. But fast forward 4 years, that number has doubled to 455,000.
Releasing illegal alien gang members onto the streets in 2022, nearly 70% of criminals arrested in Washington went unprosecuted. Sir, they've requested more police. Oh, what do they have? About 3,500. I said, 3,500? This is not a big area. It's ridiculous. What you need is rules and regulations, and you need the right people to implement them. And we have the right people here, that I can tell you. Today, we're formally declaring a public safety emergency. This is an emergency. This is a tragic emergency. And it's embarrassing for me to be up here. You know, I'm going to see Putin. I'm going to Russia on Friday. I don't like being up here talking about how unsafe and how dirty and disgusting this once beautiful capital was, with graffiti all over the walls. It's another part of it, by the way, because we're talking about safety, but we're also talking about beautification. We're the most beautiful, potentially, capital in the world. We always had.
There's an obvious difference between D.C. and any other city in America. You know, a few months ago, I was in Union Station and saw a body hit the floor at the bottom of the escalator in Union Station because there was a murder right in front of me up on the second floor. I was going to get a tie, and I heard the shots and saw the body hit the floor. So I've been listening all day long to people trying to make some argument that Washington, D.C. is a safe place. It's not a safe place. And we can argue about statistics and numbers. There's a police commander right now on suspension because there's some allegation that the statistics have been altered. But we can argue about that all day long. Nobody in their right mind who lives there or visits there on a regular basis would tell you that Washington, D.C. is safe.
The laws are weak. I can't touch you if you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old and you have a gun. I convict someone of shooting another person with an illegal gun on a public bus in the chest, intent to kill. I convict him. And you know what the judge gives him? Probation. Says you should go to college. We need to go after the D.C. Council and their absurd laws.
You have a president that is trying to fight crime, and he's getting criticized solely for political gain, and there's nothing that he's ever going to do to stop people from being killed or murdered or raped or going after the cartel members, going after MS-13 gang members. You guys criticize him on everything he does to try to keep people safe because you hate him more than you care about people.
Yesterday, Richard Palmer subbing in for me talked about the danger on the streets of Britain, and it's the same right here in the United States. I mean, in the nation's capital, and I'll play you a montage in a little bit, of the left freaking out over Donald Trump fighting crime, if you can believe it. Just imagine being on that side of the argument. Yeah, we're gonna stand behind the youth gangs roaming the streets of Washington, D.C. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. If you'd like to email the show to submit some feedback, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again to Richard Palmer for stepping in yesterday as we were in the midst of our AC orientation. The students are off and running. Classes don't begin until tomorrow, but they've got more orientation lectures today, and tonight we've got the freshman reception. So Exciting times here as we begin our 25th year of Armstrong College, if you can believe it. 25 years. I mean, we started back just a few weeks before 9/11, back in 2001. And now here we are today. I mentioned the lib freakout over Donald Trump sending in troops to restore law and order to the streets of D.C. Here's a clip 35.
We have to understand this, Chris, within the context of Donald Trump's racial politics and within the context of his effort to get Epstein off the front pages. And he's actually trying to give his base red meat to get them off of the Epstein story. And it's on the backs of citizens in Washington, D.C. He's going to undermine the democratic process in the district.
This is not a real emergency. He was not asked to send in the National Guard or take over the police by the House or the Senate or the mayor or the D.C. Council. This looks to me like an emergency which is manufactured because of a public relations crisis relating to the Epstein file.
And I think D.C. is a test case as well for the president to say, well, we can take over your city whenever we want, and I'm the commander in chief, and I can use the troops whenever we want. I think that that is an abuse of our troops, and I think it's an overreach of presidential powers for the president to literally take over law enforcement in a city.
At least I'm happy to see that he acknowledges he has the power to activate the National Guard. That was what he refused to do 4.5 years ago when the Capitol and his own vice president and Congress were under attack by the mob violence that he unleashed against us. And he sat on his hands for many hours and then later asserted he somehow didn't have the authority to deploy the National Guard.
Greg, I should note that the most violent moment in recent history in D.C. was January 6th. And it was an attack on the United States Capitol by a lot of people who were doing it in the name of Donald Trump. And it included the people who were hurt, included members of law enforcement.
And a relatively small crime problem is being used for specific authoritarian purposes. D.C. does have one really big crime problem, which was the January 6th insurrection incited by the current president of the United States in D.C. When I go to D.C., I'm not afraid of losing my wallet so much as I'm afraid of losing my vote. I'm not afraid of losing my wallet so much as I'm afraid that my children's freedom to breathe will be stolen in a world where climate change policy is non-existent.
You see just how much they love their fake January 6th narrative. That was, what did Dana Bash say? The most violent moment in D.C. in modern history. Who died? I mean, who was killed besides Ashley Babbitt? You've got these gangs. I mean, you heard it in the cold open. The number of murders per 100,000. It's worse than third world cities. And here are these elites, most of them, by the way, living in Virginia and Maryland. And then they make the commute into D.C. But forget about the D.C. residents who are being terrorized by these youth gangs. I mean, another side of this story, too, is just how strong the propaganda is, because so many of those inner city residents, they vote for Bowser. They vote Democrat. It shows how strong the propaganda is. If they let out the dirty little secret, though, they would say, thank you, President Trump, for sending in law enforcement. Thank you for regaining control of the streets of D.C. This is the nation's capital. Think about 3,500 police officers. And as Trump said there, D.C. is not that big of an area. You've got a small army. If you're the mayor of D.C., you've got a small army to take care of the city, but they won't do it. They tell the police to stand down. They give the criminals a slap on the wrist. They turn them back over to the streets. And Trump says, that's enough. They're going to jail. If they want to fire at the police, if they want to spit in the faces of police officers, they're going to be arrested. They're going to jail. Here's Pete Hegseth yesterday, clip 11.
The question of martial law keeps getting raised by the left, that Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth, they want to impose martial law as authoritarians would.
Mm-hmm.
To that, you say?
To that, I say, look at Los Angeles. They said the exact same thing. Oh, look, 4,000 troops, California National Guard. Oh, look, the Marines. You can't put in the Marines. What? They were the troops available to ensure that we de-escalated the situation and didn't allow other lawbreakers to say, look, it's wide open. We can do whatever we want in these sanctuary cities. I was told, oh, you're going to lock up political opponents. You're going to go after Democrats, yada, yada. It's the same stuff every time, mischaracterizing our intentions. The intentions of this president is to establish law and order using legal and lawful and constitutional means, which he completely has. And you know what? You know why they don't like him? He's got the guts to do it.
He's taking some action, and people are applauding it, those on the right and those in the city of D.C. But how much of this is too little, too late? I mean, what does it say about it's not like it's just confined to D.C. It's every U.S. city. And like Mr. Palmer said yesterday, it's in Britain as well. And we're just inviting in the world, and they're bringing in guns and knives, and they're killing and they're raping. It's not God's world. Again, you have to give President Trump credit for just having the guts to do something, anything. Listen to President Trump from yesterday, clip two.
And we're here for a very serious purpose. Something's out of control, but we're going to put it in control very quickly, like we did on the southern border. I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control.
And another little secret is that the D.C. police are applauding this as well. That's right. Look at what happens when you just have one individual, one leader, who's willing to take a stand and show some courage and show some rising lion courage. Herbert Armstrong, he talked about root causes in Missing Dimension and Sex. He said the true answer is this: something has been taken away from this earth that sorely needs to be restored. That something is knowledge of, respect for, and obedience to the government and the law of God. I mean, there's no respect for law. That's why these teenagers are roaming the streets with weapons. That's why they're spitting in the faces of police officers. There's no respect for law and order. Our children, our young people, are our oppressors. Isaiah 3 says so. It's such a refreshing contrast when you look at, we had SEP a few weeks ago, and now you have all these young people from 11 countries around the world assembling yesterday for our orientation. And they're excited. They're probably a little nervous and trepidatious as well, but they're excited at the prospect of receiving God's education, God's truth, at the prospect of pursuing knowledge and wisdom and understanding. It's more precious than rubies, it says in the book of Proverbs. Read Proverbs 2. It's more valuable than any precious metal, just understanding the truth of God. I mean, God's family, we have our work cut out for us in the world tomorrow when we're going to sit down with the residents of D.C., the youth that have been roaming the streets with weapons. And we're going to begin to teach them about law and order. We had an article back in 2022, The Rise of Youth Violence. Abraham Blondeau, he says, parents don't know how to raise their children because they're lacking the missing dimension of God's law and government. This is the law of cause and effect. Yet the entire world is deceived by the second spiritual factor, Satan the devil, Revelation 12 and verse 9. The whole world is deceived. Listen again to President Trump from yesterday, clip 3.
In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly. And you people are victims of it, too. You know, you're reporters, and I understand a lot of you tend to be on the liberal side, but you don't want to get mugged and raped and shot and killed. And you all know people and friends of yours that happened. And so you can be anything you want, but you want to have safety in the streets. You want to be able to leave your apartment or your house where you live and feel safe and go into a store to buy a newspaper or buy something. And you don't have that now. The murder rate in Washington today is higher than that of Bogota, Colombia, Mexico City, some of the places that you hear about as being the worst places on earth, much higher. This is much higher. The number of car thefts has doubled over the past 5 years, and the number of carjackings has more than tripled. Murders in 2023 reached the highest rate probably ever. They say 25 years, but they don't know what that means because it just goes back 25 years. Can't be worse. Our capital city has been overtaken by violent gangs and bloodthirsty criminals, roving mobs of wild youth, drugged out maniacs and homeless people. And we're not going to let it happen anymore. We're not going to take it.
Imagine fighting against that position. You see it all over MSNBC, CNN. There's a few exceptions. I think the Washington Post guy on MSNBC said, you know what? I welcome this because it is dangerous in D.C. I mean, just look at the facts. Look at what's happening on the ground. 99.9% of America should be applauding this. But what does it say about America when half of the country is resisting this? And they go on about January 6th. Oh, yeah, the most violent moment. Here there's gangs killing people. I mean, the carjacking, he mentions the statistics there. That's what happened to the Doge guy, his girlfriend. There's this gang surrounding her car, and he rushes to defend her. And he gets beaten to a bloody pulp. That's in D.C. That's reality. Play clip 4.
This issue directly impacts the functioning of the federal government and is a threat to America, really. It's a threat to our country. We have other cities also that are bad, very bad. You look at Chicago, how bad it is. You look at Los Angeles, how bad it is. We have other cities that are very bad. New York has a problem. And then you have, of course, Baltimore and Oakland. We don't even mention that anymore. They're so far gone. We're not going to let it happen. We're not going to lose our cities over this. Days ago, a former member of the Doge staff was savagely beaten by a band of roving thugs after defending a young woman from an attempted carjacking. He was left dripping in blood. He thought he was dead with a broken nose and concussion. Can't believe that he's alive. He can't believe it. In June, a 21-year-old congressional intern was tragically killed after being hit by a stray bullet in a drive-by shooting. A former Trump administration official named Mike Gill, fantastic person, was murdered last year in cold blood in a carjacking blocks away from the White House. We all knew him. Great person. Waiting for his wife as she was walking to the car. A Democrat congressman was also carjacked at gunpoint not far from the Capitol. And in 2023, an aide to Senator Rand Paul was stabbed in the chest and head by a demented lunatic as he walked down the street, just absolutely for no reason. Horrifically, last July 4th weekend, a 3-year-old girl was shot in the head and killed while sitting in a car near the Capitol. It's becoming a situation of complete and total lawlessness. And we're getting rid of the slums, too. Caravans of mass youth rampage through city streets at all times of the day. There are ATVs, motorbikes. They travel pretty well. Entire neighborhoods are now under emergency curfews. Just this past weekend, gunfire went through, and you saw that, the Navy Yard.
Yeah, a shootout, basically, there at the Navy Yard. This is, he's describing the capital of the, not Bogota, not Mexico City, the capital of the United States, where George Washington lived, where John Adams lived, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln. What has happened to America? What has happened to our cities? What have we invited in? And as I say, imagine defending, not Donald Trump, but defending the youth gangs, defending the criminal aliens, defending crime, out of control crime. I mean, he just gave you the receipts. And here come the talking heads, the bleeding heart liberals saying, yeah, crime's actually down. Yeah, it's actually safe. Now, I do live in Northern Virginia, but that's beside the point. D.C. is safe. You know why? Because I say so. The only time it was violent was January 6th. These people are deranged. The only time they're pro-law enforcement. One day, January 6th, 2021. Every other day, they want the 3,500 police officers in D.C. to stand down. And they have been. And that's why the gangs are roaming the streets. That article from 2022, The Trumpet. Satan has orchestrated the society-wide attack on family and fatherhood. Satan also broadcasts the feelings of hatred and anger that push embittered young minds to commit terrible acts. Broken families leave youth even more vulnerable to this satanic violence. Vivek Ramaswamy, he was on one of the shows the other day. I think I have it. If you guys want to move ahead to clip number 21.
Many of these kids haven't been in school, and this is one of the unseen costs of the COVID-19 school closures, Will. I know these may seem like separate issues, but they're actually deeply linked. Truancy has gone up massively in the last 4 years. When you shut down those schools and then they reopened, many of those students didn't go back. When they're not in school, they're on the streets committing violence. And so this is a cycle that goes all the way from law enforcement and juvenile courts, go upstream to the problems in our schools. And then we can have a deeper discussion of even going upstream to the problem in our families.
There you go. Schools, but then families as well. And that's what we talked about in this 2022 Trumpet article. The breakdown of the family. It's not even, like I was saying in our orientation yesterday. I mean, you look at these violent acts and no one even considers family living. You look at mass shootings, no one even goes to the family. I mean, look at what happened when crooks tried to shoot and kill President Trump. We don't even know anything about crooks. Forget about his dad and mom. Forget about his family. I mean, that's the central issue. That's where you should be going first if you're a reporter. But it shows how far removed we are from God. God is a family. And when the family breaks down, the whole of society unravels. That's what Herbert Armstrong taught us. The family is the backbone. The family is the foundation. And you get rid of that, and well, Satan just has a heyday. He loves it. He loves all of these fatherless criminals, hooligans, just roaming the streets. He loves it when there's no law and order in the family. Then there's no law and order in the streets. Then there's no law and order in the nation. And there you go. Britain's streets, dangerous. America's streets, dangerous. Carjackings, murder, rape. Only the Bible can reveal how to have successful families and how to solve these nation-crippling problems. I mean, we've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to God's truth. I mentioned this book yesterday in orientation, The Pursuit of Happiness. It's a great book about the founders and what that phrase and the Declaration of Independence really and truly means, at least from the founder's point of view, pursuit of happiness. But as I said in that lecture, it's a shame when you see a conservative author giving so much credit to the classical writers from Rome or Greece or wherever, Cicero or whoever it might be, and they don't give enough credit to the Bible. Ben Franklin, nobody ever accused him of being religious. And yet in his list of 13 virtues that we ought to aim for, that we ought to pursue, the final one on the list is imitate Jesus. I mean, these individuals read and studied the Bible, and many of them weren't even religious as far as a denomination goes. But they read the book. And they knew enough that, okay, 1 Peter 2:21, we've got to follow in the steps of Jesus. We've got to imitate Jesus Christ. People don't want to do that today. You bring the Bible into the discussion, they come on, that's religion. That's an old text. God says, you better get into the Bible, and you better organize your families the way God reveals in the Bible, or else you're going to have anarchy in the streets. And that's what we have. That 2022 article. Each year, the Philadelphia Church of God hosts youth camps for young people in the church from all over the world. These camps are a small taste of what eventually every young person will have the chance to experience. SEP is about teaching young people how to live God's way. And as I said yesterday in the orientation, I mean, more and more we're seeing young people, even in our church, that just aren't interested because the pulls of the world are so strong. They just want to go the way of the world. And we're here as administrators pleading. No, look at what God's offering you. Look at your future. Look at this truth. Look at this revelation. Look at this precious knowledge. But we've got to value it, and no one can force us to get on board with this. Romans 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, we have to follow. We have to follow in the steps of Christ. We have to imitate Jesus Christ. That's not that complicated. It's difficult to do it. People want the end result of obedience to God's laws, but they don't want the obedience part. They don't want to follow the example of Christ. They just want the blessings and the benefits without having to actually obey. God says, look, if you obey, you'll be rewarded. You'll be blessed. This was President Trump last week, clip 20, where he's talking about, you know, the prospect of taking over D.C. I mean, he's got no choice but to do this. Clip 20.
President Trump, unfederalizing D.C., are you considering taking over the D.C. police? Is that an option on the table?
We're considering it, yeah, because the crime is ridiculous. I could show you a chart comparing D.C. to other locations, and you're not going to want to see what it looks like. It was just up on television, actually, they were showing it. Now, we want to have a great, safe capital, and we're going to have it. And that includes cleanliness and includes other things. We have a capital that's very unsafe. So whether you call it federalized or what, and that also includes the graffiti that you see, the papers all over the place, the roads that are in bad shape, the medians that are falling down, the median in between roads that's falling down. We're going to beautify the city. We're going to make it beautiful. And what a shame. The rate of crime, the rate of muggings, killings, and everything else, we're not going to let it. And that includes bringing in the National Guard, maybe very quickly, too.
And do you want Congress to look at overturning the D.C. Home Rule Act?
We're going to look at that. In fact, the lawyers are already studying it. We have to run D.C. This has to be the best-run place in the country, not the worst-run place in the country. And it has so much potential. and we're going to take care of it. You're going to be safe. You're going to be safe walking down streets. You're not going to get mugged.
You're going to be safe, and they fight against it. Because they don't live in D.C. They don't live in downtown D.C. They live in Maryland. They live in a cushy suburb where there's a gated community. I heard another one just recently say, look, just having a wide open border, what's wrong with that? I mean, it doesn't affect me. Well, it affects a lot of other people. Adversely. There's violence, criminals, drugs, sex trafficking. It just pours into the country. My father said, this is in an article from 2019, prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, Amaziah says, referring to the capital city. He's talking about a prophecy in Amos 7. He says, we could liken that to Washington, D.C. today, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. It says, when this says the king's chapel, it's talking about a place of worship that belongs to the king. We've talked before about how this Jeroboam type has king-like powers. And really, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing it in D.C. That's another angle to this development. Here are these bleeding-heart liberals. They wanted to see law enforcement federalized for so long under Obama, the dear leader. Because, well, local law enforcement, they were all racist. So let's get the government in there. Now the government gets in there because there's crime. D.C. is crime infested. And they're so deranged in their Trump derangement syndrome that now they're totally against it. Now they fight it. Now they're defending the criminals. My father, in talking about these youth programs that we have in God's church, this is from 1999, 26 years ago. He says, these summer camps are doing a magnificent job of showing teenagers a better way to have fun and study at the same time. The camps are continuing in the Malachi 4 and verse 6 family building effort begun by Mr. Armstrong to turn the hearts of the children to the parents and to God. This is a passage my father ended his orientation lecture with yesterday, Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Our children, their hearts need to turn to the parents, to parental authority. This is where a strong, stable society starts, in the home. My father said, in contrast, this present evil world, especially in America, is saturated with disobedience to parents, youth violence, school shootings, and gang hatred. Today's society is filled with adults who were once miserable children, growing up in a world filled with wars and strife, riots, bloodshed and murders, anger, hatred, growing up in wretched unhappiness. That says for 6,000 years, this world has been writing a lesson in human experience, but the world has not learned that lesson. I mean, you see the fruits. Forget about D.C. for a moment. Look at the 6,000-year history of man. The story of war, as Churchill said. The story of violence, really. This world has gone the way of Cain. I mean, look at what happened in Genesis 4. Look at what Cain did to his own brother because of jealousy, because of rage, because of hatred. He murdered his brother. And that's the way that this world has gone. Peter and Jude, both in the New Testament, talked about the way of Cain. My father said, at SEP, that lesson is being taught to our young people so that if they will put to practice the biblically based instruction they receive, they will not have to experience the horrors and the ravages of mankind's unlearned lessons. What a blessing is this camp. It's like a forerunner of the world tomorrow. What a blessing the camp is. What a blessing Armstrong College is. What a blessing all these youth programs all over the place. God wants to educate our young people and bring them up in the way that they should go. Jesse Waters last week, he talked about, again, this is a problem that goes far beyond D.C. for sure. This is Waters from last week, clip 22.
Authorities in Florida have arrested a heavily armed man at Palm Beach International Airport, which the president uses when he visits Mar-a-Lago. Michael Rodriguez was caught with a fully loaded AR-15 and several knives in his car, which was parked in a restricted area. The president wasn't in Florida during the arrest. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, the DOJ just announced charges against a man who repeatedly threatened to assassinate Trump online. Jacob Buckley posted this: "I hate MAGA Republicans, bro. On God, I'll kill all of them. I'm going to kill Trump. And bro, we're going into a literal oligarchy in 4 days, and I'm going to kill Trump."
I mean, that stuff is just all over social media, that kind of violent rhetoric, so much hatred. I mean, the spirit of murder, it's in the air. They tried to murder Trump. That was last year. It seems like a decade ago. That was just 13 months ago. 13 months. And they actually shot him in the ear, President Trump, because of people like that. What you just saw there. Listen again to Jesse Waters, clip 23.
Single mom who got pummeled by the Cincinnati mob just held a press conference. She is furious at the mob that pummeled her, but also with the liberal leaders who hung her out to dry. Watch.
"And I think that moving forward, we do need more accountability. You know, the judges who are just letting people out with a slap. The man who attacked me and might have permanently damaged me forever should never have been on the streets. In Toledo, in Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, our streets are being taken over and nobody is doing anything. I am so sad, and I need to be the voice to help all of the victims that never got their justice."
Holly's still recovering, but not everybody's wishing her well. Councilwoman Victoria Parks is facing calls to resign after saying Holly was begging for a beatdown.
Can you imagine? And there's the victim. Yeah, it's Toledo. It's Columbus, it's Cleveland, it's Cincinnati, and no one's doing anything about it. Nobody cares. And then you get leadership like this woman, quote unquote leadership, saying, well, she deserved it. She's white after all. Do you think MSNBC took that story and ran with it? No, cover it up. Just ignore it. These two whites, a white woman, a white man, just being pummeled by a black gang in Ohio, in the Midwest. And nobody cares. Nobody discusses it. Nobody talks about it. Listen to this victim from Cincinnati. This is clip 25.
"Well, everyone was standing around recording and egging it on and, you know, like, cheering to them, and I kept waiting for the police to show up and waiting and terrified, you know. And when I realized the police weren't going to come, I could hear someone, the man that I jumped in front of, literally crying to God, please God, somebody save me, somebody help me. It was the third time he had been knocked down and kicked in his face over and over. Somebody had told me 57 times they had counted through all the videos. And I knew that if I didn't jump in, if he had fallen down one more time, he would not have made it out alive."
They were nearly murdered. It's kind of like the Doge guy running out to fight back for the sake of his girlfriend. He thought he was dead. He thought he was left for dead. And this is what this woman thought. And where's law enforcement? How could anybody say, supposing you said, hey, we're sending troops into the streets of Cincinnati to stop this. How could anybody argue against it? Everything's politics, isn't it? She talks about all of these thugs that have these forever long rap sheets. You know, why are they even on the streets to begin with? This is clip 26.
"There were some comments about, you know, white people shouldn't be out here, or we're going to go night-night, you white bleep words. And so, you know, definitely it was a little scary. And then when they started circling, yeah, there were, it was just an attack that should have never happened. And there were a lot of people in the attack. Now that some of the people have been arrested, they have rap sheets that go on for days. And especially the man who punched me in the face, he had just got out of jail a few months before and had felonies on him. And I don't understand why he was running the streets, and a lot of other people should have never even been out of jail to even do this to me or the others.
So you have the thugs carrying out the beating, and then you have the crowd, for their part, filming it. As she explains, they're not calling 911. No, they're filming the fun. The whites getting beaten. I'm going to put this on my phone. This is wonderful. Clip 27.
I'm disgusted at the people who were recording and they didn't call 911. The one person who did call 911 was a victim, one of the guys who had got curb stomped, and then he was able to sneak away and call 911. And I just, that baffles me. And I think that it should be illegal for people to sit there and record violent crimes without at least being, you know, a good Samaritan act or something of calling, and then, you know, go and record.
Where are the good Samaritans? That's a nice reference there. That's right out of the New Testament, the Gospels. Where are the good Samaritans these days that will intervene on the streets of Britain or America to restore safety, law, order? Well, so many of them are terrified. They're frightened because the gangs are taking over. The Bible talks about three different worlds on this earth. You have the world that then was before the flood of Noah's day. You have this present evil world, Galatians 1 and verse 4. And then you have the wonderful world tomorrow, where it's going to be like one massive SEP or Armstrong College all over the earth. But these first two epochs or eras, you look at the first world, the world that then was, that's 2 Peter 3 and verse 6. What happened? Why did God have to send a flood? A worldwide flood that just wiped out civilization, except for eight people, Noah's family. Well, Genesis 6, verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Every thought, every imagination, just concentrating on evil, focusing on evil. Filming evil, violent acts. It's the same spirit today. Down in verse 11, this is Genesis 6, it says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." The earth was filled with violence. American cities are more violent than Mexico City, than Bogota, Colombia, than third world countries. Capital cities in third world countries. What does this say about the world? What does it say about the Israelite nations? The earth is filled with violence. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." I mean, God inspired the word corrupt to be used three times. Three times in these two verses. Read verses 11 and 12 again. Corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. Violent, violent, violent. What a rotten moral state we've entered into. Verse 13, "And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" Here again, violence. Repeat it. The earth is filled with it. I mean, the violence has become so universal Just like it was in Noah's day that God said, you know what? I've got to spare humanity of this continuous suffering, this continuous violence, this continuous corruption and evil. I've got to intervene, and he's going to do the same thing with the Great Tribulation. That's what it takes to finally wake us up, to see what we've done to ourselves, to see what we've done to our cities. Notice Jesus' teaching. This is in Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Wow, that's quite a prophecy. Christ said that the last days would be just like the last days before the flood. I mean, this is prophecy being fulfilled. We're seeing it happen. I mean, in that sense, it's exciting to think about just how close we are to that other world, the third world discussed in the Bible, the wonderful world tomorrow. Herbert Armstrong has a book. I don't see it on the table here, but he has a book that goes by that title. Mystery of the Ages talks about it as well. What a wonderful world we're about to experience. Verse 27, coming back to Christ's prophecy, it says, in Noah's day, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. See, they were eating and drinking and marrying. I mean, they were doing these things inappropriately. There was a lot of immoral activity associated with these things. But they were just carrying on, pursuing the pleasures of that age, assuming that everything would just continue, even with our violent cities. I mean, we'll just continue as a society. I mean, nobody's really out for each other. We're not really hurting one another. They said this as the cities were going up in flames, just like during COVID. Yeah, it's mostly peaceful. I think it's mostly peaceful. The dear leader said, yeah, it's mostly tranquil. There's a few rough spots here and there, but for the most part, I mean, what a peaceful world. Who says this? Lots of people. Listen to Joe Scarborough. This was from last week, clip 24.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want a federal takeover of the Capitol. Certainly don't need the National Guard in there, or certainly not Marines. But you look at Washington, D.C., and it's been dangerous for years. There have been a couple of years here, a couple of years there, where it's been a bit better. But it's certainly over the past 5 years, it has just been an absolute mess. Its quality of life has been terrible. We've heard it from people that have gone there to visit, are horrified that the nation's capital is as dangerous as it is. We've heard it from students. We've heard it from business people. We've heard it from people that work on the Hill. I have 25, 30 years of friends asking, really, this is how the nation's capital runs? And so anything that the administration can do to forge a partnership with the city, that I got to say, its leaders seem unwilling to do what is required to keep city streets safe. That's something that's encouraged. Again, they don't have to federalize it, but just help the city help themselves. If city council members continue to do things that undermine the security of the streets and of the communities and the places, not only where tourists go, where people have to go to work day in and day out, then yeah, we need the federal government be far more involved in the nation's capital. This is not Nebraska. This is the nation's capital. It should be safe for Americans and tourists from around the world to visit.
Even Joe Scarborough. And as I said, they had the Washington Post guy on, Eugene Robinson, I think, saying that, you know, I welcome it. But just what he said there at the start, I mean, it's been violent from the beginning. It's been violent for years. You know, we've just gotten used to it. What did Jesus say? They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Notice verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It's going to be just like it was before Noah and the flood in these last days. Herbert Armstrong, this is from a sermon he gave. He said, we just go along with what pleases us, what appeals to our appetite, our desire of wanting to get, wanting to have, wanting to enjoy. And we're in a very small wisp of a lifetime, and judgment is on us as to whether we're going to have joy and happiness and peace and everything wonderful forever. And we're just letting this time go by, most of us, without taking it very seriously. Time goes by, and whoa, D.C. is violent. The streets of London are violent. And we just get used to it. We just get accustomed to it. I mean, look at what happened in the days of Lot with Sodom and Gomorrah. Here are these wretched cities with all this violence and sexual immorality, and God has to practically drag them out, Lot and his family. I mean, his wife, she looked back longingly. It was that hard to let go of Sodom. What does that say about the human heart? What does that say about the sins of Israel? What does that say about the last days before the return of Christ? My father writes this in the Epistles of Peter booklet. He says, God is going to take mankind to the point where people will know there is no hope in man, and they are willing to heed God's word, the Bible. The experiment of human government will prove itself a grandiose failure, and people will begin to recognize that they do need God's help. God's taking us to this point to teach us a lesson in aversion therapy, as Herbert Armstrong used to say. This is what it takes for us to transition into the wonderful world of tomorrow. My father says, what a world that will be when human arrogance has been leveled. People will be humble and childlike, ready to be taught by God. It says, but to reach that stage, mankind must experience destruction, just short of destroying all humanity, every man, woman, and child. He says, we need to help people understand that this world is about to end, just as in the time of the flood. That's what we need to help people understand. This world is almost done. It's over. This is a message you don't get in the world of Christianity today. They're so excited about this world. Even as they just casually say, well, D.C.'s always been like this. What's the problem? Our cities have always been violent. What's the problem? Just stay inside at night. Hopefully you avoid a drive-by shooting bullet. Just stay inside. I mean, people are being assaulted and cars are being stolen. People are being murdered in the streets of D.C. And it's worse than Mexico City. But the good news is this world's about to end. And everything we've discussed on today's show is proof of that fact. It's proof that Jesus Christ will soon return and restore order and restore law and order, not just to D.C., but the entire world. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.